Put your hands together. Help me welcome this morning, Pastor Josh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, you know the deal. Jesus gets a bigger round of applause because he's a lot more worthy. Put your hands together for Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Alpha, the Omega, the mighty God, the Rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning. Come on, somebody stand to your feet. If God did anything for you, stand and give him praise. Give him praise, somebody. Give him praise. Oh, I heard you shout louder at a Raiders game. You better shout for the King. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. This is going to be one of them kind of services, okay? So before you sit down, go ahead and wave at somebody and say, don't get too comfortable now. Don't get too comfortable. I made it through the first service. They were a blessing. They were lovely. But man, this service, I had to take the jacket off. The jacket coming off, huh? Jacket coming off. The tie might go, huh? I might kick off the chanclas. Anything goes, right? But I want to tell you something. I've been since leaving Manteca and my home church, my family. I done went and visited quite a few other churches. A lot of them had nice, you know, nice buildings and wonderful, you know, facilities and a whole lot of, you know, everything. And but you know what? It wasn't CWC. It wasn't home. It wasn't Manteca. I got to tell you something. Y'all look good when you put on Jesus. When y'all start praising the Lord, y'all look good. Huh? So keep on doing that. Keep on doing that because I honestly believe there ain't no better place than home. So give yourselves a round of applause. I love you guys. Thank you for welcoming me to come back. In the middle, just like Bishop said, a lot has happened. You know, I felt like I had given my life to ministering here at CWC in Manteca in the surrounding area, the San Joaquin Valley. And when I found that my dad was ailing, his body was failing him, I felt like I needed to go back home to be with him for the remaining days of his life. And so that's why we made the journey. We made the decision to go to Samoa. And upon getting ready to head out, like Bishop said, the pandemic struck and borders were shut down. And Samoa is a small, remote island in the South Pacific. Don't get it twisted. The island is small, but the peoples are big. They big, man. Okay, they big. They produce some peoples, Jack, okay? But the borders were shut down because it's so remote that one case would spread like a wildfire and there would be no way to preserve the people. It would knock out the whole. So they shut down the borders. To this day, there's still no flights going in. And that presented a problem because my dad's health was failing, right? And we just kind of felt like that was probably going to be the last time that I saw my dad, and rightfully so. He passed away in September, and I knew I wasn't going to see him, so we made our way out to Tyler, Texas, the big state of Texas. Praise God. It was kind of some kind of way because my dad passing, kind of, I had a little bit of emotions behind that, but how many of you know that I'm saying this with full respect. I love my dad. But something supernatural took place in my life when I was a kid. God blessed me with two dads. My other dad, my another dad. This man that you call Bishop is not just my pastor, not just my shepherd. He's a dad to me. He's been a dad to me. Kelly has been a mom to me, right? And this church has been a family to me. So I said a little something about this to Veronica, and I'm going to try to speed along because I do feel that God has a word for us. But I said a little something at Sister Veronica's mom's graduation of life, is that we as believers, we have the weird ability to mourn the loss at the death of someone that we love. at the very same time that we could celebrate their promotion into the heavens. And it's weird because, like, we cry, but it's not the same kind of cry. And to anyone that has lost a loved one, we just talked about who I refer to as my older brother, Reuben. We're just talking about, you know, I miss them. We miss our loved ones. But you know what? Don't let that get you down so much, because he's in a better place. They're in a better place. We're trying to catch up to them, right? They already reached glory land. We're trying to get there. So in the name of Jesus, lively up yourself every now and again, because they're in a better place. Amen? Praise God. Tyler, Texas. Let me tell you about Tyler, Texas. Tyler, Texas is a small, I don't know why I'm gravitated towards small places, you know? It just makes big people look bigger than they really are. You know, I'm like, I'm not that big. I'm not. It's just that y'all are too small, right? It's just like that. But Tyler is in the middle of what they call the Bible Belt. And what I mean by that is that the name of Jesus is spoken freely. Everywhere you go, it's okay to say Jesus loves you. You can say God bless you all day long. Matter of fact, if you don't say nothing, you'll probably get about 5 God bless yous from everyone else you come across. God is made famous out there. And we just ended up out there. Amen. Praise God. We ended up out there and we had to do the right thing. We had to do the most responsible thing as spirit-filled Christians, anointed and appointed by God, commissioned to do the work of the Lord. I had to do the right things first and get it right. I had to find the first good taqueria that served menudo. I had to find good old barbecue joints, man, that I was doing, because this is important, man. You can't get your essentials right, right? And then we had to find a good church. Okay, maybe not in that order, but you know where I'm going. I had to find a good church, right? We walked into churches, and I said a little bit about that earlier. There ain't no place like home, but I walked into this small church, right? I walked into this small church, and there was literally the attendance of 6 people. Humongous building. It was like 28,000 square feet, 3 stories. It had like full-on industrial kitchen. It had a big old full-size gymnasium. You know, for us high-class athletes, we need a place to work out and really kind of express our athletic selves. Right, TJ? So we just had to, Tommy, come on, man, put him up, man. It was a humongous church, but it only had 6 people in it. Well, we walked inside and we felt the Spirit of God. There was nothing really spectacular. They didn't have a worship leader. They didn't have a pianist. They didn't have no musicians. They put a couple playlists of songs on the screen and they sang to it, and that was their worship. And I felt like, man, back home we got the bells and whistles, baby. We got the ooh-wee worship, right? But we come over here and it's like, man, they really got nothing. Let me tell you something. In the midst of that nothingness, I felt God's Spirit. And I started to weep, and I started to lift both hands, and I just started to cry out, Abba, Father, and God visited us that day. And then after service, I got in my car. My mom, my wife, my 2 kids, we all got inside my car. We said our God bless yous, and we were getting ready to walk out. And wouldn't you know it, somebody came up to my window before we made it to the end of the parking lot, and they knocked on the door, and I said, yeah, ease up on the window, man. Man, I'm California, man. You might get served, man. Don't just rush up on my vehicle, man. Right? But they knocked on the window, and I rolled down my window, and it was the deacon of the church. And mind you, there was 6 people, so he was one of the 6, right? He walked up to the window and said, hey, brother, I hope you don't think it odd, but everybody in church had me come out here to ask you, have you ever been in ministry before? Because we just kind of feel like we've been out of a pastor for 7 months, and we done interviewed 7 D pastors, and we really, 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 really want you to apply for a pastorship here. And I said to myself, I said, man, that's not why I came here. But I'm going to tell you something. God knows. I said, God knows. And if you're not going to take the first step in doing what you're supposed to do, God's going to send the hounds of heaven to knock on your window. right before you leave, and the hounds of heaven is going to say, okay, look here, dummy. I'm not through with you, and you could leave counties and states and state lines and zip codes. You can pass all over wherever you go, but my calling is going to follow you, and you just got to say, yes, Lord. So I became the pastor of six people. It gets gooder because me and my six family members, we just doubled in attendance in one Sunday. We was twice the size we were before. God gets the glory. Hallelujah. I didn't even do a doggone thing. All I did is walked into the presence and we was twice the size we were before. Hallelujah. Kathy's laughing. But honestly and truly, it's just been a miracle. Nothing makes sense when God is in the mix. Huh? Pastor Dan, he came up to me earlier and he gave me a good old God bless you. And I think they left, huh? But he blessed my heart. And I told him, you know what? Just when you think you're at the end of your road, God says, I got a new road for you to start. So I got this church only to find out that it's not a Pentecostal church. It's a Baptist church. Now, I'm not saying nothing bad about Baptists. If there's any of you Baptists in here, hey, we peoples, man. Don't throw nothing. Don't stone the pastor. But they just got a different kind of boogie about their worship. They just got a different way of praying, right? So they said, Pastor Josh, you know we're a Baptist church, right? And I said, you know I'm a Pentecostal preacher, right? And they said, okay. Okay, there was no resistance, right? They just kind of went on. Well, I got to tell you something. The first time that I started to get little... excited, right? The first time I started stomping my foot, I almost went through the podium. I almost went through the stage, but everyone started looking around like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. But I got to tell you, in the middle of it all, they started feeling the presence of God like they've never felt before. And one by one, people started raising their hands in the middle of worship. And then they started standing up and raising both hands in the middle. And then it was like the Spirit of God was free in that place, and tears started rolling down there. Where they never again to experience the Spirit of God, they started to, simply because one person stood up and said, okay, you do you, and I'm going to do me, and we're going to see how Jesus works it all out. Never be ashamed of worshiping God. Never be ashamed of praising God the way you know how. Never, never, ever be ashamed of giving God praise when it's time to give God praise. So God's been good to me. God's been good to me. And I know that God's been good to you because I've been hearing nothing but praise reports here in Manteca. And I'm just so excited to be home. God has given me a word, and I'm going to be quick about giving it to you. Are you ready to hear the word of God? Do you really love to hear the word of God? Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask that out of respect to the presence of the Lord and the reading of his holy Bible, I'm going to ask that you stand to your feet, open the Bible to the book of Acts, towards the back of the Bible, the book of Acts. Now, Acts is one of them books. It's one of them giddy up books, man. You can't read the book of Acts and not get excited. And you know, so I kind of felt like, man, that's all. It's like, man, you don't need to give Pastor Josh no caffeine because he's already excited. But the book of Acts is given in a great fashion. I'm going to ask that you open it to Acts chapter 3. And starting in verse 1, I'm going to go ahead and read it, and then I'll open us up in a word of prayer. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple, and at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Heavenly Father, hide me behind the shadow of the cross. Give me simple words easy to understand. May your word impact us so much so that we can't help but to go out into the mission field and give your love to them. I pray that you would move us, change us, heal us, and then commission us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, everyone agreed and everyone said, everyone said, amen. God bless you. And you may be seated. You may be seated. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. And it was at 3 p.m. There always is a one day. The question is whether or not you acknowledge that your one day has come. You need to acknowledge when your special day, when your there is always a one day. Everybody got a one day. Everybody has a one day. One day, it was a bum, thuggish kid coming to San Joaquin area, walking to a Hispanic church on 600 West Yosemite. And one day, this kid walked into a church, and they were singing corritos. Ay, poder, poder, siento igual poder, Jesús. And that Samoan kid walked into a Hispanic church, and they were singing Spanish songs, and they were preaching Spanish messages. But that one day, the Spirit of God fell, and one day, that Samoan kid bent his knees on the steps and gave his heart to the Lord. And one day, God rolled all of his sins away. Everybody got a one day. What's your one day? What's your one day? This one day, Peter and John were walking to the temple. And they came to the gate called Beautiful. Come on, man. They ran across a lame man. And I'm gonna let you go ahead and carry on this study, but I'm going to fast forward. I'm going to give you a paraphrased version. Can I do that? One day, he came across a lame man that was born lame from birth. In other words, he had feet, he had knees, he had thighs and hips and fingers. No, he had all of the goods. They just wasn't functioning. I don't know about you, but it would drive me mad to know that I got something, but I can't use it. It would drive me insane to know that I have something that's supposed to do a certain function, but I can't get to using it because it doesn't want to function. Ain't no unction to its function. Drive me mad. The Bible says that as Peter and John walked up to the temple and the gate that is called Beautiful, there sat a lame man that was lame from birth. Okay, that's got me all messed up. It's got me all messed up because, number one, that one day, is the day, see, I'm going to tell you, one day there was a reporter that went across the nation reviewing and commenting on churches. He walked across this church that caught his eye. He walked up to the foyer, walked inside, saw a box in the foyer. In the box was a golden telephone. Golden telephone. He reached inside to look a little closer and saw a plate that had the inscribments of these letters, and it said, I quote, direct line to God. $1 million a minute. Ooh, he said, man, but they got a direct line to God. So he took note of that and went on about his way, continuing to look at different churches and how they worship God. And so he came across another church on the different corner of the nation. And he walked upside the church and he got inside the foyer. And just like the last, he saw a box. And he walked closer to the box. And it had a golden telephone. And inside the telephone, right next to it, had an inscribement. And it said, direct line to God, $500,000 a minute. He said, man, the big man, he's a big man. It's going to cost you to talk to the big man. The kid came to a little town on the west side. It was right off of this street called Button Avenue. He ran inside the foyer, he saw a box, got a little closer to the box, saw the inscribing, and the inscribing said this, blew his mind. He said, direct line to God Almighty, 25 cents a minute. He said, what? There's something wrong. He broke down the door, ran inside the sanctuary, got a hold of the bishop, said, look here, you got it all wrong. It costs $500,000 over there. It costs $1 million over there. You want me to go pull that sign down? You got it wrong over here in Manteca. The bishop squared off his shoulders, threw his head back like he usually does. Do it. See? Threw his head back like this. He said, listen here, boy. You in Manteca. Calls to God out in this neck of the woods is a local call. Christian Worship Center got a direct line. What was amazing to me is that the man that was lame from birth was sitting at the temple. You mean to tell me that you can go to church every day of all of your life and still be lame? No, you gotta catch what I'm saying. Because you can't go to church every day for years, all your life, and have the same dysfunctional self. I don't know about you, but I can't be around people that is dysfunctional. They got what it takes to get up and go. They just don't want to. I can't stand it when someone wants to just leech off of you when they have doggone everything that they need to get up and go on. But they just like it better when you got to pay a price and they don't got to pay nothing. I don't know about you, but it'll drive me mad. They call that a leecher where I came from. Huh? Gimme, 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 gimme. Gimme, 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 gimme. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not how we are here at Christian Worship Center. This is Christian Worship Center, not Christian Wimpy Center. We do things in the name of Jesus. You might be in a low-down, downtrodden state, but baby, pick your head up. Your redemption draws nigh. I want you to know something, that you might have been offended. Somebody might have hurt you way back when. Somebody might have hurt you really, really bad. You might have been the victim way back when. But in the name of Jesus, pick your head up. God's going to see you through. Stop being the victim and start learning how to be the victor in the name of Jesus. Put your hands together. Don't patty cake and give God praise. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to try to work this thing. I'm going to try to work this thing. See, he was lame from birth, but God had a different plan for him. See, John and Peter were going to pray at the temple. But you know what? Sometimes God interrupts your normality of things because you think you got to pray, but God says you got to minister. Don't just go out pretending like you're going to do something, but when it comes time to do something, you don't do it? Let me tell you something. Maybe you can't stop for everybody, but you can sure stop for somebody. Who are you stopping for? Have you even bothered to look around to find who's hurting in your neighborhood? Who's hurting on your street, on your block, on your way to school, in your class? Who's hurting in your house? And you can't. Hey, I'm going to get back to y'all. I got to go to church. I'm going to pray for y'all, but after I go to Bible study. Let me tell you something. Don't be so heavenly minded that you can't be of earthly value. God wants you to do something. So do it in the name of Jesus. We're not just going to talk about it. We're going to be about it. You get what I'm saying? You get, huh? I feel like Jackie Chan. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? So he goes to the temple every day. And every day he does the same lame thing. Alms. 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 Woe is me. Poor me. Feel sorry for me. Come on, can you carry me another year, another day, another mile? Let me tell you something. That's not our church. Our church, we don't come to church so that you can pity party me. No, no, no. When you come to this church, you coming to get healed, baby. When you come to this church, you coming to have a face-to-face with Jesus Christ Almighty. When you come to this church, don't just come to be, When you come to this church, you better expect to be blessed. When you come to this church, you better, all you have to do to get blessed is have a little bit of faith. Not a lot of it, a little bit of faith. Just the faith the size of a mustard seed is all you need in this church. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Am I just talking or is this Bible? This is Bible, Jack. This is Bible. He goes to the temple and he sits at the gate. What is the Bible says that the name of the gate is called Beautiful. Beautiful? Beautiful? Turn to your neighbor and say, Beautiful? Okay, some of y'all got a little too much on that, man. I don't even know if y'all married, man. You can't be doing that much. Put a little too much hot sauce on that beautiful, man. Bring it down. The name of the gate is called Beautiful. Let me tell you something. The temple had gates, and this particular gate was a gate where people walked in and out constantly, all day long, every day. There was traffic moving in and out. What am I saying? I'm saying the opportunity for you to do something greater than you were before is ever in front of you. Ever in front of you. There's always an opportunity for you to do better, do good. Do more. You can't be the same Christian today than you were yesterday. You can't be the same Christian today than you were 5 years ago. You got to be better today than you were yesterday. Aspire to be better tomorrow than you were today. But be better. Don't be the same. Don't just exist. Excel, baby. Come on and come up. Hallelujah. I don't know if whether or not this is maybe a good way to insert a little outline, but I kind of feel like every once in a while you need to get up, get out, and get on. Get up from your self-pity self, self-wallowing self. Nothing is beautiful about that. That just looks, who wants somebody that's just going all day long? Wah, 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 wah. Don't even look good. Don't sound good. Everything is not good. Who wants to be around someone like that? Huh? Y'all never remember Flintstones, remember? Don't lie, Bishop. The Flintstones had that one character, Slaprock. Slaprock used to just walk around with his own personal private cloud. And it just used to rain wherever Slaprock went. And then when they would say, oh, we going over here. No, you'll never make it. No, we're going to build the house. No, it'll never work. Slaprock, that was a, you know what? Nobody likes a Slaprock. In the name of Jesus, pick yourself up. Be encouraged is what I'm telling you. Be encouraged. God's going to do something in your marriage. God's going to do something in your finances. God's going to do something in your, depression ain't always going to defeat you. You're going to come out of it, but you got to stop being a Slaprock. You got to stop being lame. Lame isn't all about physicalities. Lame isn't always about physicalities. You can be buff and be lame. Huh? You can be good looking and like Pastor Josh and still be lame. Money ain't, Kathy, there you go again. Money ain't everything. Listen, I know a lot of people that are monetarily rich, but spiritually poor. Lame ain't always about physicalities. Don't get yourself all puffed up because you got this or that. Don't get yourself all puffed up because you got this or that. Because when he was about doing this and doing that, hearing alms, money, handout, gimme, gimme, gimme. The Bible says that Peter looked straight at him in verse 4, if you still have your scriptures. Then Peter said, look at us. He said, look at me. It was his attempt to catch his attention. What am I saying? What am I saying? Because every now and again, we get into a wimpy mode that we just got to sound off like, woe is me. I got this and I got this. And if I could only get $5, you got $5? Can you give me $4? $3? You know what I mean? We get to put in all this emphasis on, I got to come up, but I need your money. I need your this. I need your that. Let me tell you something. The significance behind him sitting at the gate called Beautiful is that that gate in Jerusalem was lined with gold and silver. The whole thing was plastered with beautiful gems, and it would radiate the sun's gleam and just shine. It was just beautiful. That's why they called it Beautiful. But it was silver and gold. Okay, let's put all this together, can we? You go to church every day, all your life, and you can't find your healing. And then you sit at the gate called Beautiful that's lined in silver and gold and all of the riches that you could ever imagine, and that's where you live, and you still got a poor mentality? You still don't see the wealth that you're surrounded with? And then Peter says this, look at me! Because it's just like the devil just not care about you. He just wants what you got. I don't care about you. I just want what you got. I don't care about you. I just want what you got. I don't care about you because I came to steal, kill, and destroy. Just give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. I don't care. I don't care. I'm not a respecter of persons. I killed your mama. I killed your dad. I killed your brother too. I'm going to kill you. He don't care about you. He just wants what you, give me, give me, give me. You getting what I'm saying? But along comes a man of God and said, hey, stop. Stop. Look at me. And then he says something profound. He says, silver and gold have I none, but such that I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What am I telling you? I'm telling you this. Every once in a while, you got to shake somebody out. Every once in a while, you got to grab them by their shoulders and say, stop what you're doing. You're doing it all wrong. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassed. Look, stop. You don't have to do this. And then you hit them with the good. You hit them with the one. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, I don't know about you, but in today's day, you know, you get a whole lot of Jesus's, and you got a whole lot of derivatives of Jesus' name, you know. Hey, G. Hey, G, G, Jesus, G, 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 G. But just so that we get it right, Paul leaves no room for confusion. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'm going to tell you, there's only one name under heaven by which man will be saved. That is the name of Jesus. You know what? You need to say the name of Jesus. If you're going to say any name at all, learn to say the name of Jesus. Some of us haven't said the name of Jesus in a long time. I'm going to tell you what. There's been times in my life that I didn't know to say anything but the name of Jesus. There's been times in my life that I've been dangerously close to losing everything. And all that I could come to bring myself to say is the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. Say it often. Say it loud. Say it proud. Say Jesus. Let me hear the warriors cry out the name of Jesus. Jesus! Oh! It's at the name of Jesus that things in the atmosphere begins to change. It's at the name of Jesus that even demons tremble. They can't stand the name of Jesus. You want your circumstances to begin to change? Begin to say the name of Jesus. You want to begin to overcome that sin that's constantly defeating you in your life? Say the name of Jesus. I guarantee you, you go around the people you've been hanging out with and start saying the name of Jesus, they will flee. Baby, you ain't gonna have no problems no more. I want you to stand to your feet. Something took place after that man got healed. When he spoke the name of Jesus, it was a clear indication that God was about to move. That's why I say, begin to speak the name of. Some of you have gotten out of practice. Some of you have gotten bad practices. You've been saying the name of Jesus, but you've been saying it in a profane manner. Know that when you put the name of Jesus on your lips again, put some righteousness on it. Put some holiness on the name of Jesus. Hallow the name of Jesus, and that's the proper way to invoke authority. The Bible says in verse 7 that he took the man by the hand. Excuse me. Sorry. I don't want to mess this up. It's really, 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 really important. He said he took the man by the right hand, not the wrong hand, the right hand. You can't just talk a beautiful talk. Every once in a while, it's going to take some physical effort on your end. I thank God for the Perea family. The kids are not kids no more. They're grown. But they physically took me in as their own. And a lot of people can't understand when I call him my dad. Because we kind of don't look the same. He only got a couple years on me. But when God does something supernatural, everything that you once understood to be normal gets tossed out of the window. And you gotta let it go. You gotta let all of that go. Peter and John took the lame man by the hand. He had no name. He took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. And immediately, the Bible says that his ankles, his knees, the bones just began to be strengthened. Bam. The Bible says that he began to leap and run and shout for joy. He started to praise the Lord. And he walked into the prayer meeting. Remember the prayer meeting? They started off going to a prayer meeting. But God had a different plan. Because what everyone else was praying for was really, really taking place right outside the temple doors. And this man ran. He ran into his destiny. Some of you have been sitting idle for a long time. But it's time, in the name of Jesus, for you to stand up and not walk, not crawl, but run into your destiny. Run into your destiny. What God has called you for, run. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe it's chapter 4, and I'm going to close with this. Chapter 4 says that everyone that was in that prayer meeting, the holy, righteous, whatever, the Bible says that they saw this man run and leap. And they said, isn't this the same guy that we saw going to school, going to the marketplace, coming home? He was sitting outside the gate for years, every day, all day, begging, and he was lame. But now he's walking. Miraculous testimony had taken place. But had it not been for that testimony, the Bible says in chapter 4, verse 4, that 3,000 individuals came to know the Lord. 3,000. Never be ashamed to speak the name of Jesus. Never be ashamed to talk about what God has done in your life. Never be shy about talking about the one day that Jesus came into your life. Don't be so caught up with yourself that you forget to speak about the righteousness of the Father. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just gonna pray for your one day moment. Maybe today is your one day. Maybe today God's saying, look at me. Stop asking for this, stop asking for that. But if you seek me, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would say, I want Jesus. I've been lame for a long time, but I want to walk. Matter of fact, I want to run. I want to draw closer to Jesus. If that's your prayer today, I want you just to go ahead and raise your hand. Raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. You're tired of being tired, of being tired, of being tired, of being tired. But today is your one day. I want you to know that God wants you twice as much as you want God. But you got to take a step. I'm going to ask that you take a step. Those of you that have raised your hand, please, please don't think this odd. Don't think that this is odd. But I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and come. Come meet me at these altars. Be bold. Be courageous. Take a step. I'm not going to be a beggar no more. I'm going to walk in righteousness. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come. Come, please, come. Make your way forward. Surround this altar right here. Come, surround. God is doing something. God is doing something wonderful. God is calling you out. He wants to love you. That's all he wants to do. Thank you, Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're still teetering the idea. Maybe for whatever reason, something's just not. I'm going to tell you, God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. There's still room. There's still room at the altars. There's still time. You can come on. Yes, yes. Make that decision. Come. Come. God wants to meet you here. Thank you, Jesus. As eyes are closed, yes, amen. Praise God. Praise God. God sees you. I'm going to tell you, God doesn't want you to be lame or broken or a victim any longer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I need you. I need a lot of things, but I need you the most. Come into my heart. Wash me from all of my sins and give me salvation. Make me whole. In Jesus' name, I receive your salvation as I walk closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Those of you that have said this prayer, I don't know if whether or not we have salvation cards, but if you don't, I want you to know something. If you don't already have a church, you're in a safe place. You're in a safe place. Keep coming. Keep coming. If you haven't already filled out the cards that's going around, please fill that out. It's our way of getting a hold of you and keeping you connected to this God move that you've decided by saying this prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For those of you that are still here, I want to challenge you, church. I want to challenge you, church. This, please, please, please forgive me if I haven't called you out, if I haven't shouted you out, if I haven't told you just how special you are, and thank you for loving on Pastor Josh and my family. If I haven't done that individually, please forgive me. There are far too many of you and only one of me, but I want you to know, you just don't know what happens when you reach out and touch a broken person. You just might be talking to the next person that's going to jump and leap and shout out the name of Jesus louder than anyone else you ever met. What I'm saying is, keep touching the sick. Keep reaching out to the hurting and the lost. Keep giving them Jesus. God's going to bless you every step of the way. I'm going to have our bishop, the angel of this church, he's going to come up. It's been my privilege to be with you. God bless you, church.
Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, let Pastor Josh know you love him. Yes. Amen. And hopefully it won't be long before we have him back again with everybody, with all the kids too, and Denise as well. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm very grateful that you're here today, and I hope you come back for Mother's Day next week. By the way, Wednesday night, there's something special happening here on Wednesday nights. We've been open for 4 weeks on Wednesday. This place is full. The campus is full. We have women meeting in the powerhouse. Men are with me over in room 14. New Life Recovery is meeting married couples are in their vision room, paragons meeting youth and young adults, and on. Everybody's here Wednesday night, but before you even go to your group or class, come have a meal, have a sandwich, there's dinner for everybody, free for everyone. It's just been a great atmosphere, and I just appreciate everyone that's working so hard to make it amazing. If you haven't been here Wednesday night, come on out. Come check it out this week. Spanish is also here. Listen, if you're a first-time visitor, we have an In-N-Out gift card for you right over there at that sign. You can see Pastor Nick. That's my niece over there, and she's going to welcome you and give you that gift card. We're just so honored that you're here. I'm so grateful that everybody came out. Thank you to all my family that came out to celebrate Presley's great day today. Happy birthday to Pastor Ryan and to my wife, Kelly. Her birthday's tomorrow. I know she's over with the kids right now, but I wish them a happy birthday for me when you see them. Amen. So thank you all for being here. We are honored that you chose to worship God with us in this place. Spanish will be starting here. I'm going to meet the Spanish team over here in about 15 minutes, but we will be starting Spanish service at 12:30. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for coming. Amen. Can we get one of the ushers to open up the side door here, please?